He just doesn't know his place. That phrase, followed by some tisks, was a phrase that was sometimes uttered by Marion, the grandmother of my spouse Thomas. Someone would say or do something that was quite inappropriate in her eyes, and she would simply say, "He just doesn't know his place." Now, we know that behind such a phrase can be a view of the world that puts people into particular categories of class or race or education and expects them to stay there. How many people of color? How many women? How many gay and lesbian persons over the centuries have been told that they had better stay in their place or suffer the consequences? But I had a chance to know Marion Brown. She lived with us for about 6 months, one winter and spring. And knowing her as I did, I believe she was getting at something else. For she was someone who embodied some of the attributes we heard Paul talk about in his letter to the Corinthians this morning. Patience, kindness, holiness of spirit. She was a person of deep faith, genuine love. And when someone didn't know their place, well, usually that meant they were being rude, they were interrupting, they were acting in ways that showed anything but patience and kindness and regard for others. And so, wary as I am of the judgmental and controlling connotations that such a phrase can bring, I still want to say to each of you this morning, know your place. Know who you are, who God has formed you to be, and what that means for the living of your life. Know what you need and what you do not need for the living out of God's purpose for you. In our Old Testament lesson today, we heard of a young boy who learned about finding his place and his role and his purpose. And yes, I know the story of David and Goliath is a story of violence. I still recall some parents during a vacation Bible school asking me if such a story was really an appropriate one to be telling 5- and 6-year-olds. But just as David was able to take 5 smooth stones out of the wadi, I think there are some smooth stones of wisdom we can draw from this story. And here's one of them. David ultimately knew his place and his way of confronting the evil before him. If you went to Bible school, vacation Bible school, or Sunday school, maybe you know the story up until this point. Saul and his army of Israelites have been fighting the Philistines when Goliath, a mighty Philistine warrior, challenges the Israelites to send one man to fight against him, saying, "If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants." But Goliath goes on to say, "And if I defeat your man, then all of you will become our servants." The Israelites react with fear and dismay. And then David, still a young shepherd boy, appears. Now, he's not supposed to be in that place. He's not a soldier of the Israelite army. His older brothers are, and his father has sent him with provisions for them. But hearing of the challenge, he steps forward, ready to take on Goliath. And so Saul gets him ready. Saul clothes David with the king's armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. Then David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. "I cannot walk with these," he tells the king. So picture a young teenage boy overwhelmed by armor that did not fit him, by weapons he could not use. It was not his place or his role to wear the armor of the king. So David removed them. His place had been the shepherd's field. So what did he need for weapons? The tools of that place, a slingshot and 5 smooth stones, which he put in his bag, tools that he had used to scare off predators from the flocks. So David, in this particular situation, knew his place, he knew his role, he knew his purpose. And of course, we know that in subsequent years, after he became king, David, like every one of us, often lost his place, found himself acting in ways other than what God intended for him. But here, in this moment, he knew better than to keep on that ill-fitting armor. Some of us spend a long time in our lives trying to walk with ill-fitting armor. Now, it may have been armor we once needed to protect ourselves, but is it the clothing that we are meant to wear and the place in which we're meant to dwell? To know one's place. One of the remarkable things about Jesus as we see him move through the Gospels was that he spoke and acted as one with authority. That's how people described him. He was someone who knew his place, and that did not mean a passive acceptance of things as they were. It did not mean docile obedience to those above him. It did not mean that he cooperated or endorsed all of the social structures of his time, which often kept people in places of poverty or oppression. No, instead, he spoke and acted from a centered and rooted place, his identity in God. And it was such a powerful place that as we heard the disciples say this morning in astonishment, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? We are moving through some rather turbulent times in our national life, indeed in our global life right now, times of animosity and division. And we may not have the power to still the winds and the sea. We may not have the power to end all strife or to reunite every child with every parent who's been separated at our borders. But Jesus did indicate to the disciples that they could receive faith, the kind of faith which would enable them to endure and face any storm. And to return to our Old Testament story, when children and families become, in effect, bargaining chips for establishing secure borders, we as a nation take on a kind of armor that does not fit. It does not fit us or our highest values. And with that armor, we cannot really walk, let alone thrive as a nation. Jesus knew his place. Sometimes that meant endorsing all that was good about his society, and sometimes that meant critiquing the people in the communities he loved when they ignored the neediest in their midst. And Jesus invites us to be rooted and centered as he was. And he gives us the faith to do so. And to risk sharing one more metaphor, do you remember the parable, those of us who were here last week, that we heard Jesus tell about a small seed growing into the greatest of shrubs? Well, this week, perhaps coincidentally, I came across the words of the 20th century mystic Thomas Merton in his book, New Seeds of Contemplation. And he wrote this: "A tree gives glory to God by first being a tree. The more the tree is like itself, the more it is like him, like God. No two created beings are exactly alike. This particular tree will give glory to God by spreading out its roots in the earth and raising its branches into the air and light in a way that no other tree before or after it ever did or ever will do. Sanctity consists in being one's true self. To be one's true self, embodying all the particular gifts and graces that God has given each of us, that is to know one's place. And your place is meant to be filled by you, and there is no one else in the universe that can fill it. No one else who can offer the gifts that you can offer, even as there is no one else who can offer the gifts that I can offer. It is a place that is unique for each of us. And yet those places, these lives we live, will have much in common. And so to return to Marion Brown and St. Paul, our gifts will be many, but if we know our place in the world as Christians, then our lives all will be characterized by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. And those are not just pretty Hallmark greeting card words. They are the very substance of life as it is meant to be lived by God's sons and daughters. They express the essence of Christian life, and no one of us will ever embody them fully. And like David, at times we will find our place and flourish. Our roots will grow and our branches will spread, and at other times we will lose our way and we will lose our place. But these are the tools of Christian life that enable us to confront evil without fear and with a quiet confidence and assurance know that our contributions to overcoming all the separations in our world will make a difference. For when we seek to speak and act with patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, and truthful speech, then we do know nothing less than the power of God at work in our lives. If we know our place and know that God has given us just the kind of armor we need and the stones we need to make this a more just and loving world, then we will see the lives of so many others transformed, and maybe even ours, for the good of all that God has created. Thanks be to God. Amen.